Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
All right, I'm sort of loving that while people are focused on the Super Bowl and last season, Bobby, you and I are now focused towards the new season. We're turning the page. We're excited about the new guys that are entering the league and doing so once again in a sort of different world as it relates to the combine and access to players. And shout out to you. Shout out to Exos for laying the groundwork for some of this. The access that we've received up here and the ability to talk to so many of these guys that you're going to hear their names in the first and second rounds of this draft has been remarkable. And you're going to start hearing a lot of their names a lot more in the coming weeks as other reporters sort of get their hands on them in virtual rooms. But we are getting sort of this, again, while everyone's sort of focused over there, we've got them here.
It's like my wife does these divine consign, those mommy sales on a weekend in Grapevine. And if you work it, you get the pre-sale, and the workers get to go in and shop like 3 hours before. We're basically the pre-sale shoppers at the divine consign here at Exos in Frisco.
And I'm obsessed with it because what I love the most about my job is a few things: developing relationships with the players, getting to know their why, and what's their purpose? And I've had so many questions, and we talked about this in the last episode. How did these guys stay engaged? How hard was it to watch football at the college level getting played while some of them decided to stay in Frisco and approach this like it was a career? How did they handle some of the challenges that came with this year? And I've walked away so far legitimately impressed with some of these guys. And I think more importantly, we're getting little nuggets about who the Cowboys are sort of talking to and are interested. I think that's fascinating. Again, it's early on, and as we've talked to these players, especially with the Senior Bowl, they've talked to all 32 teams. I think in the past it might be 10 teams, 12 teams.
You're consolidating a little bit more. You're trying to delegate your, but yeah, this year they got to talk to everybody they can.
You've got to gather as much intel as possible. So we're not going to ask all the questions that the GMs and the coaches are. Bobby always does a really good job of finding out what some of them have asked. And so we'll sprinkle them in to our interview so you can kind of feel like you're a fly on the wall there. But really interesting guys. And like I said, we've got one of them in this episode. Peyton Turner's just wingspan.
I know. It's insane the way he looks as big as an airplane. Yeah, today it's as we mentioned, Peyton Turner from Houston, William Bradley King from Baylor, and Brandon Tucker from Trench Warfare Training. So we can jump into all that, and you guys can get a look at some of the prospects the Cowboys might be considering.
And to whet the palates, too, of the Cowboys fans. Like I said, I've been talking about at some point we'll deep dive into some of the complexities as it related to why that defense played as poorly as they did. And yeah. I think when we kind of open it up at some point, the fans are going to be, I think, encouraged by the mental makeup of this team and how they played through a lot of the things that I think that if other coaching staffs around the league knew what was going on would be shocking to them as well. And again, we'll get into that a little bit further down the line as we talk about this new coaching staff.
And we'll get into some of it today. Brandon Tucker's got some good insight on how those guys fought, and so that'll be some good information.
And he works with some of those guys. Yeah. And I get my point in bringing that up is there is a reason to be enthusiastic, Cowboys fans, about this defense, despite what we saw from it last year. So stay tuned for this episode. A lot of good information here.
Joining us now is Baylor defensive end William Bradley King. Goes by BK, actually. It's much easier. And you can follow him on Twitter, at WillGotTheSack. BK, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you're one of the guys that we talked to a few guys last week, but it was a little more empty here at Exos because, of course, Senior Bowl, and you were one of the guys who was out there. How did that experience go? How was everything that came out of that? It's a difficult year with the combine being canceled, being a little different. So what kind of benefit do you think you got out of that and how you performed?
Yeah, I loved it. I feel like the opportunity was one of a kind, especially with COVID. You know, it messes with players mentally, and you know, of course physically, but, you know, I was mentally and physically prepared for it, and I gave it all I got.
Now, you're somebody who you started out your career over at Arkansas State and then transferred over to Baylor. Why'd you choose to go with Baylor?
Baylor, just because Dave Aranda is a defensive mind. What Baylor did the season before, the scheme he was bringing over, you know, I wanted to prove to NFL teams that I was a valuable football player, and, you know, that's what Dave Aranda let me do. I played outside linebacker. You know, dropped in cover sometime, put my hand in the dirt, played off the edge, and rushed out of a four-eye and a three-technique.
Where did you start to see your game really improve, though?
Well, Dave Aranda, he was more like a mentally challenging coach, so I feel like he helped me become even more mental tougher. And then just seeing the game from his point of view, because he teaches the game like you're a pro, so, you know, he just helped me understand football even more and helped my football IQ.
Who were some of the teams that you talked to at Senior Bowl?
I talked to all 32 teams.
Oh, you did? Now that's impressive.
Yeah.
Do you think it was, again, you don't have anything to gauge this against because it's such a different year with COVID. Do you think that that would have happened in years past? Was it a more intimate environment there?
Yeah, it was very intimate. We had like pods set up, so we had like 20-minute sessions with each team. Interviews lasted almost 4 hours, but, you know, it was worth it.
Now, one of those, we know you're training out here, obviously, in the Dallas area, so how'd your conversation with the Cowboys, and obviously we don't want you to give away too much or whatever, but how did that conversation go, and how'd you feel about the Cowboys?
Yeah, I want to play in the NFL. That's been my dream since I was 6 years old, but, you know, the conversation, it went really well. Any NFL team that wants to pay me, you know, I would love to play for them. But, yeah, it was a great conversation.
What is it that most teams were, without specifics, obviously, of who was wanting to know it, but, I mean, what is it most teams were wanting to know about you, that they were saying, hey, we got this question about you, and this is what we'd like to get your perspective on? What was it that you think teams most wanted to know about you?
They really wanted to know why I transferred. You know, I was playing chess, not checkers.
There you go.
They wanted to know, you know, just my football IQ. They wanted to know what type of person I was, and they really wanted to, you know, see if I could pass rush, if I could get home to the quarterback.
Now, you mentioned that you kind of bounced around. You did some four-eye. You were outside and playing all over the place. Where do you feel your best fit is at the next level?
On the edge.
That's where you want to be? Just
yes,
pin your ears back, go wide nine?
Yes, sir. Wide nine, loose six.
Would you feel comfortable standing up, though, and rushing in a 3-4? But
yes,
just in general, you want to rush off the edge, whether that's standing up in a 3-4 or hand on the ground in a 4-3?
Yes, sir. I can do both.
All right, because we are the Boys and Girls Podcast and we cover the Cowboys, again, I don't want to ask you what questions they asked you, but who did you talk to from the Cowboys staff? Was it Dan Quinn? Was Dan there?
Yeah, I don't recall.
It's a blur.
It's a blur.
You saw 200 faces.
He was a large man with a bald head.
Yeah, I talked to so many people. Like, I couldn't tell you who I talked to. I'm not going to lie. But I did talk to the Dallas Cowboys.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now,
well, the Cowboys do need defensive help, as you know.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, they're in a great deal of it, especially coming off the edge there. Now, when you look at one of the things that I know, I'm just talking to scouts and you talk to coaches and stuff, one of their favorite questions to ask guys is, like, why do you love ball? And it sounds like a simple question, but it to them tells them so much about a guy and what it is that drives him. So if teams ask you that question, they say, you know, BK, why do you love ball? What's your answer to them?
I mean, I'm driven because of my mother. You know, she's going through some personal issues. But, you know, I love ball just because, you know, I love competing. You know, I love that one-on-one battle. You know, I'm a competitor. I don't let my little sister win anything. Like, you know, that's what I love to do.
Where did your love of the game come from, and when did you know you were special?
My love of the game came from, I think, the camaraderie. All my friends play football, so, you know, I just love being around all my friends. At one point, I was kind of the only child, so, you know, it was just me. So, you know, just being around the guys, competing, you know, seeing that I could be better, it just intrigued me, and I always loved the game. I always knew I loved the game, and yeah.
Was there a signature game for you in high school or college where you're like, I think everyone at some point knows when they're uniquely suited for certain loftier goals, right? Like Elon Musk, I love when his mother said, I knew he was a genius. I just didn't know if that genius was going to translate to Tesla and what he does now, or if he was going to end up in the basement. Yeah. There's a lot of really gifted football players that come through high school and college, but when was this signature moment for you that you thought, I'm going to make it there one day? I'm going to be something.
Yeah, I don't know. I really think it was just my work ethic. I kind of figured out that, you know, it wasn't no secret recipe to being a good football player. It's just hard work. So, you know, I always worked hard. You know, I always, like, whenever I had a goal, I always would figure out a way to get to it. So, you know, it's just always been my goal. You know, I was always confident. Arkansas State, I had a really good game against UNLV. I had 2 sacks. You know, I thought I was big time. You know, I wasn't, but, you know, that was probably a highlight of my career. And then I played really well against West Virginia, played really good against Texas, really good against
Easy. I'm
Oklahoma.
A Texas alum there. Easy.
Really good.
I got the Longhorn shirt on today.
Oklahoma, and, you know, I just always believed in myself and just always felt like I was him.
Now, before we hit you some rapid-fire get-to-know-you questions, I know you're a guy who wants to take his platform and do bigger things with it at the next level. What are some of your plans to kind of give back and make a difference once you get to the next level?
Yeah, I already have, like, non-for-profit ideas. Operation Don't Hold Back, like, Don't Hold Back to Help. You know, it's still in the running right now, in the making. And, you know, I want to give back. You know, I want to have school drives, you know, just mentor kids, you know, stuff like that. People that, you know, was kind of raised like me without a father figure and stuff. So, you know, I want to just really help younger kids.
Give me a little insight into that, because you don't have to share what your mother's going through if you don't want. But I love that your why is your mom.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up for you, and how did that shape you?
Yeah, I'm adopted by my aunt, by my great-great aunt. So she's kind of like a grandmother. But, you know, that's my mom now. She adopted me and my younger sister. I just had to, like, you know, grow up early, you know, and it helped me realize, you know, what I wanted in life. And, you know, I just always attacked what I wanted.
I love that. I know they're very, very proud of you.
Yeah.
Now, as people come to get to know a little bit about you, we like to always finish up, ask a couple different, like, little more lighthearted questions. Yeah. So when it comes to your pregame hype list and you're trying to get in the zone, what are you going to be listening to?
The people I name, you're probably not going
to. Come on, test me. Try me.
Randall Cobb told me literally Batman's Kiss from a Rose, Seal, was his pregame.
See, I'm going to listen to, like, some Detroit music, like some Sada Baby, some Rio the Young OG, guys like that that's going.
Why Detroit specific?
It's like
you got a family connection there or something?
No, they just do something called spice talking, so they just talk any kind of way. So, like, that
gets
really,
you hyped.
That really just get me going.
Now I feel like, is this it kind of, what is the song where it's like, you can't soar with the eagles?
I don't know.
If you're hanging out with chickens, and he's like talking about it while there's like also this like awesome track beneath it.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm just,
I love this. Like, we want to get hype. We listen. It's not Paul Wall. It's
I'm just sitting here surprised at the fact that, like, you know, you're talking about Detroit.
But now I'm going to Google
music
it. Now I'm going to Google his
and there's
music.
All there's been this chat lately about Detroit style pizza now taking over. And so, like, I don't know what it is about Detroit. They're doing great things since Dan Campbell got to the Lions. I guess it's somehow credit to him.
What did you watch Dan Campbell's press conference when he talked about, like,
we're
hyenas and take bite them off their kneecap?
It's a little intense. He was a little intense there. Is that a guy that you're like, oh, I could go play for that
dude?
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, you like that energy?
Yeah.
That's good. Now, since you are a big music guy, we asked this of a couple people. What would you rather live without, music or, like, television, movies, streaming service type stuff? So if you had to live without one for the rest of your life.
See, that's kind of hard because I'm a music guy. That's going to get my day started. And then I like to Netflix and chill. I like to watch movies. So,
favorite movie on Netflix recently?
Well, my favorite movie on Netflix is probably the movie Impossible.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Who's in it?
It's I think it's about the tsunami that happened.
Oh,
in
documentary.
Yes.
Documentary.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
there you go.
So yeah, that was a crazy movie. Had my blood pressure out the roof.
Now I want to watch that.
Yeah. I've been on a documentary kick lately. HBO Max has this really good one on the Heaven's Gate cult, which I think was a thing before you were even born.
I started a little bit of
I
that.
I liked it. I liked it, but I mean, that's just me, I guess.
The crazier one was the guy that was carving his initials into women, which now apparently
that's
is dominating
distressing.
Headlines these days.
Yeah,
I digress.
That's a little disturbing. Now, are you a basketball guy?
No, I'm not. I'm
not
really
at all.
I'm really a football guy.
Football guy. Okay, well then I'll throw a football game a football question at you. And it's you may or may not play Madden, but if you were to hop on Madden a little bit, if you were to hop on Madden next year, and the guy that you're playing happens to take the team that you play for, and so you've got digital, you know, BK, and he scoops up a fumble, are you gonna tackle him and try and be competitive and win the game, or are you gonna let yourself get some shine and let him score?
I think I'm going to let BK get to the crib.
Just let him get that one touchdown.
I'm going to let him get to the crib. I'm going to win, but I want to see him do good.
You'll try the other 59 minutes. There you go. Well, William Bradley King, you can follow him on Twitter. It's the best handle on Twitter, I think. It's at Will Got The Sack, and you can follow him there. BK, we appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Me.
Best of luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Joining us now is Houston defensive end Peyton Turner. You can follow him on Twitter at PT_Turner98. Peyton, thanks so much for joining us.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are, I think the chatter about you right now is you're considered a bit of a riser. That people are like, oh, okay, this guy, where'd he burst onto the scene from? And you had a strong senior season. You came in at the Senior Bowl, measured really well, had good days of practice. Talk about that experience at the Senior Bowl, how you think it helped you and you know, just in general, how that went dealing with all the teams and going through the practices.
The whole Senior Bowl experience this year was really unique, especially in the fact that there's not an NFL combine really this year, just medical. So, I mean, you know, getting to talk to all the teams, scouts, GMs, coaches was really nice, you know, put a face to the name and, you know, talk to them about my family and my experience, why I had such a good season, you know, just my whole career. It was really nice, you know, and then you get to make some new friends, best college football players in the country at the Senior Bowl. So, you know, it's nice. It was really, really a great opportunity.
How many interviews did you do? Average time of each interview?
I talked to all 32. I think it was probably like around 15 minutes, something like that. So I got to talk to all of them, though.
I feel like in the past there wasn't all 32 teams talking to some of these guys. It feels like because they haven't been able to come to the campuses or whatnot.
They're all trying let's zoom
locked
in on
you guys.
Trying to get a whole profile on everybody.
Exactly. Now it does help, though, that, again, you know, you come in there, you measure with, 72-inch arms, and that's not even the wingspan. The wingspan's like 230 or something. We took pictures of it here. But, you know, you have the measurables. You're somebody who had a good senior season. You're somebody who's played kind of all around. You were all over the defensive line there at Houston. How do you think you best project at the NFL? Where do you feel most comfortable playing on defense?
I'm 270 right now. I played 270 this past season. I dropped from 290 for my sophomore season when I was playing 4i. But, I mean, I'm most comfortable where I'm at right now, really, at, like, 270. So I know in the league, like, what I've heard from scouts, GMs, coaches is all over, like, outside backer, just straight defensive end, and then be, like, a sub rusher at 3-tech. But, you know, it's wherever they want me at, really. I think I'm pretty diverse, versatile. So it's just wherever they want me.
Now, is it correct? You talked about your 290 sophomore season.
Right.
Do I have it correct from 24/7 Sports that you weighed 217 when you got to Houston?
Yeah, no, I weighed just under 240. So,
But even still, how'd you explode from that to two? Was it just growth spurt, or were you just, like, pounding all the carbohydrates for a semester, or what was that?
I didn't really have an off season in high school, so I finally got an off season lifting, eating, got some nutritionists. So, you know, my off season in high school was always basketball or baseball, so never really had one.
When you go to something like the Senior Bowl, and like I said, you haven't necessarily done the combine or the pro days yet, what was like the singular moment where you're like, wow, I'm this close to following my big dream of playing the NFL? Was there a coach or coordinator that really stood out to you, and why?
You know, I heard about, the potential to be in the NFL someday coming out of high school, just because, like, you know, the intangibles and stuff. And then, you know, you put the measurements on top of it. So I think it really hit me this past season, senior year, like after I got COVID and I was just sitting, just contemplating everything, coming back or leaving. I think that's when it really hit me, was this past year and COVID. And then I got to this point, like, every day it's just, you know, more closer and closer. So it's a pretty crazy realization to come to.
But was there a coach or a coordinator that stood out to you? Like, I am sitting this close to this person in the league.
Yeah, Mike Mayock was with the Raiders. It's pretty cool, you know, seeing him.
Right? Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, you know, just seeing them, talking to everybody. You know, you see GMs and stuff, and they're actually interested in you and hearing from you. So, like I said, it's just a unique experience. So I just taking it all in.
Did you get to see Gruden while you're there?
I didn't see him.
Mayock is equally intense.
Yeah.
Now, you are training out here in Frisco in the Dallas area, and you're talking about meeting with all 32 teams. How did your conversations with the Cowboys go? We are a Cowboys-centric show, obviously, but how did that conversation go, and what would you think about potentially playing here in the Dallas area?
Yeah, I met with them a few times while I was there.
A few times, Cowboys fans.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah, no, they can't. It was good. It was a good interview. Talked to them. Shared everything, like I said, my life story. They was asking about me, my career, college career, and just talking about experiences. And so I mean, it's
now
pretty convenient to.
Now, was Mike McCarthy the guy that talked to you? Will McClay, Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator? Who would you talk to?
I talked to, like, all their scouts over there. I think a few coaches. A lot of them, not too many of them were talking. I was kind of just getting riddled with questions and everything. So, there was a lot of guys there talking to me. So, you know, I'm keeping in touch with them, too.
To go to the University of Houston and have the Cowboys talking to you. Now, granted, last season was kind of an outlier for them. But what was it like to garner that interest where you didn't just talk to him once, you talked to him how many times did you say? Three times?
A few times. But yeah, it's pretty cool, especially this being Dallas Cowboys, America's team or whatever. But that was my dad's team growing up, so we had a bunch of Cowboys stuff in the house. He hasn't been too crazy about, you know, flaunting it this year, but I mean, he's a Cowboys fan. I was a Cowboys fan growing up, you know, in Texas, and then became more of like a Houston Texans fan as I kind of grew into my own. But, it's a pretty unique experience. It's pretty awesome.
Now, what defensive player did you love for the Cowboys growing up?
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Nice. Oh, really? Yeah, there you go.
I talked to him a lot.
So you've talked to him a lot?
To D-Law? I have his – we texted a few times a while,
that's cool,
while back. Yeah, so it's pretty cool hearing from him.
Now, you mentioned how much you've grown. We talked about the big growth spurt you went through. You never really had an off season until you got to college. So there's probably a lot of room still to grow. That teams probably look at you and go like, man, there's a lot of potential here. Because, you know, even what he is now, we've got some room to mold him a little bit. What do you think it is that you still most need to improve on as you enter this next level?
Yeah, I think that a lot of coaches are like high on me just because I am kind of like Clay, you know, I'm kind of raw, you know, new to, especially the position at defensive end. So just getting better with my technique, hand placement, using my hands more, keep working on flexibility, keep getting better at bending, even though, you know, I've made strides there, but just keep getting better at the small stuff so I can be successful at the next level.
Have you seen Gerald McCoy up here?
I have. We talked a little bit too. We were talking about some football too while he was doing his.
He was giving. I was up here one day when he was giving some good secret knowledge that, right, I had to turn the camera off for. But he's dropping the good knowledge. Has that been really beneficial too? Being around to be around not just the Gerald McCoy types, but these other big prospects and get to train with them and kind of talk ball with them.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because everybody's saying the same thing. They just speak different languages. So just chopping it up with them and just learning from them and just sharing knowledge and everything. But it's always nice to talk to, like, you know, GMAC or whoever, you know, whether it's a few league guys that hit me up or I hit up and just talk to them, especially the guys that came from U of H. So
now we won't keep you.
Well, I do want to ask him one question.
Well, yeah,
we're talking
one
about
question.
These intangibles.
Yeah, we got to make sure we don't have missed training.
Well, we're talking about the intangibles here.
Tuck will yell at both of us.
Where does that come from? Is your dad a large guy? Like,
yeah, my parents are both big. as you could imagine.
So, like, when you came out, like, it was LOI.
Yeah, for sure.
He came out with arms longer than
exactly.
Mine.
Yeah, you know, my mom was pushing when I came out. My parents are big, and, you know, I was a big athlete coming out of, like, high school. Every school, really, whether it be elementary or middle school, high school. So
did they meet in college? Were they both playing sports? Like, give me the measurements.
Well, matter of fact, my mom's from Montana. She grew up on a ranch, four sisters, a brother. My dad's from Marshall, Texas. He played junior college football. He's a running back, so I could play running back too.
Oh, yeah, you can do it all.
Yeah, yep. My mom played basketball at Montana State University. But they met on a basketball court in Houston. on a blacktop outside one day, and they just, you know, happily ever since.
That is awesome. I love that.
Now, we'll finish up here with a couple just quick questions, because like I said, I know we got to get you to training.
Yeah, we're not trying to get in trouble.
Yes, no, because like I said, Tuck knows Jane and I well enough that he'll yell at
us. He'll come get us.
So if you weren't doing football, what would you be pursuing?
Basketball.
Basketball?
Yeah.
What about away from athletics? What would you be doing?
I mean, my plan is whenever football is over is just, you know, I got my business management degree, graduated with that from U of H, but I'd go into oil and gas and energy management.
Hey, you want to end up with the Cowboys, just mention to Jerry, say, hey, I'm an oil man myself. That's where I'm at.
Jerry just invested in all that stuff. You know, Jalen Smith has the clear eye view with the sunglasses, but oil and gas...
That's where Jerry made his money. You hit Jerry right there in the heart. You start talking about football and oil and gas. There you go. So what are you listening to hype yourself up before a game?
Anything really. I'll mess with some Drake, some Future, some Young Thug, some rap. Really,
but you're trying to get something like hyping you up, right? Because like, yeah. I've talked to a couple guys who they're like, they actually want something mellow. They don't want to get too out of control.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a buildup. You don't want to, like, you know, come straight out the bed and just be jamming Chief Keef or anything crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's a buildup. You know, I listen to some songs I just enjoy, good music, and then, you know, before the game, I try to get turned.
Cheesiest song on your playlist?
Cheesiest. Define cheesy.
Or most the one that you would tell somebody, like, that's my sister's, or like the one you wouldn't want to own up to that's on your playlist.
Like growing up in the 90s, LFO.
I'll still put Backstreet Boys.
Like when
on
I say
mine,
Hanson
I
to these
care.
Guys now, yeah. Their moms and dads know what I'm talking about, but they don't.
I have some Eminem.
Eminem is embarrassing.
Like, yeah,
a little bit, man. Like, I mean,
Eminem is embarrassing.
Eminem gets cheesy.
I mean, Eminem's been embarrassing for about 15 years.
That's funny.
But if you're talking about like Slim Shady LP Eminem, there's nothing embarrassing.
Yeah,
about that.
I don't know, man.
When I started becoming the same age as some of these prospects' mothers, that's when I knew, like,
I
wasn't speaking the same language.
Haley, Eminem's daughter, she turns 26 this year.
That's wild.
That's how much time's going by. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I'm early bird, I'd say. I mean, I could stay up late.
You're kind of forced to doing this.
Yeah, especially when you're training. But I mean, I've always been up in the morning.
I got to imagine, too, with a mom that grew up on the ranch. Like,
oh, yeah.
She didn't suffer no fools. Like,
oh, yeah.
You're getting up early. You're making bed. Like, do I have a good read on that?
Yeah, my mom, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Well, Peyton Turner is a defensive end from Houston. You will undoubtedly hear his name there on draft weekend. And you can follow him on Twitter at PT_Turner98. Peyton, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Joining us now is our good friend, our longtime buddy, Brandon Tucker from Trench Warfare Training. You can follow him on Twitter at TWFT Training or TWF Training. I can't ever remember.
That's it.
TWF Training.
TWF Training.
I'm used to wanting to go with the it's spelled TWFT, and then I think there's training on it. But you'll find it. Just start typing in TWFT,
it'll
and I'm
up.
Sure it'll show up. Tuck, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Can you scoot up to the mic a little more?
I got to be honest. Every time I see him, when he actually sits down with us, he's like so warm and engaging, but when I walked out and saw you going through the drills, like you are a scary man sometimes, Tuck.
Oh,
I was like,
he's not scary, but I'll tell you what, Maya, this is a funny story. I had my son up at Exos back in October, and Tuck was coming up here that day, and we were out back with Clay Mack, and Tuck came up to the gate, and I didn't see him. Nobody saw Tuck come up to the gate with all his bags except my son. And my son looks at him and doesn't know who he is. It's just like, oh, there's somebody there. And Tuck eventually sets everything down and opens the gate. And he goes, Bobby, who is this man? And I was like, it's my son. He's like, man, this boy just looked at me and was like, I'm not helping that man.
Yeah,
I'm not
giving him anything. Standing at the gate. I'm like, bro,
and he
you
like,
see me with all this equipment.
And,
you know
and my son just
here.
Like froze and was like, I didn't know. It's like, he's just screwing with you. Relax.
Right?
He's just messing with you.
But you want your defensive lineman to be a little scary too, though, at the line of scrimmage, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You want that aggression. Now we've talked to you before. You've worked with a ton of guys around the league, a ton of guys specifically with the Cowboys. We'll talk about some of these guys that you're working with pre-draft, but I know somebody that everybody got really excited about and his growth during the season was Neville Gallimore. That Neville felt like, I think people thought he was a little behind the curve when he first started. That it was like, okay, what's up with this guy? And there was some disappointment, but then you saw it. It was exciting because you got to see it week by week, him starting to really put things together. Talk a little bit about Neville's progress and in general what you think they can expect of him, fans can expect expect of him heading into next year?
So Neville grew tremendously throughout the season, and it was a group effort. Myself, Alden Smith, and Gerald McCoy really kind of came together independently to shorten that learning curve with Neville. So, for instance, on Tuesdays, I would go sit with Alden and Neville at Alden's house, and we would, you know, look at film and visit and really talk to him about what he should be doing versus what he was doing. And then Gerald would reinforce those same things. And by midseason, you saw the difference. He started to play with his hands. Before, he was just running through gaps versus being able to play with his hands and then shed blockers. All right, so there was a tremendous growth with Neville, and it was a collective effort.
So he would have been more better, like at the beginning of the season where he was at, he would have been better prepared if this was still a Rod Marinelli defense, where it's get upfield, go. But when it came down to more technique and push-pull and two-gapping, that's where he ran into a little bit more issue.
So he would have fit perfectly in Rod's defense. And in fairness to Neville, this was almost going to be like a red shirt year for him. He was not expected to play as much as he did.
Yeah.
So with injuries to Gerald and then Tristan and then Poe not working out.
Then Everson Griffin getting out of here.
Correct. So what is that? Four guys are basically in front of him. And then he's thrust into it. I mean, so, yeah, he baptism by fire for him this year.
Were you disappointed with the play of the defensive line, given the talent? Now, as you said, to be fair, Gerald McCoy going down, I really think even seeing him up here the few times that I've been here, this is the second time I've been here, second time I've seen him, and I've heard he's been up here pretty consistently.
Yeah.
The feedback I always get is he's so good working with other guys. So I think losing him from a talent standpoint but also a locker room standpoint was disappointing. And then as we talked, the injuries and the fluctuation on the defensive line. But with that being said, were you disappointed that this group sort of underperformed, given that you know some of the talent of the guys?
So that's a really loaded question for me.
I don't want to get you in trouble here. But just knowing the talent, as working with these guys and being a talent evaluator, and like I said, there was injuries, it was a COVID season.
Yeah,
let me walk you out of this one that I walked you into.
No, you're fine.
Given the talents of some of these guys,
yeah.
Should fans be optimistic about this group next year?
Absolutely. I think guys, scheme-wise, weren't put in position for them to really play at the level that they're able to play at. So I think it had more to do with scheme than guys not playing well. So they went from a even front, four down, to now three down pretty much. Everyone's alignment changed. They had guys standing up that were used to being in three-point stances. They had guys that were used to playing outside, playing inside. And so the scheme, with it being COVID, with the lack of preparation, no OTAs, I don't think they were able to just fully grasp the concepts of what was going to be asked of them. And so you saw the end result with below average team play. And I think that was more scheme than player. So not really disappointed, but kind of like a head shaking moment. Like it was like Murphy's Law, right?
Yep.
I used that term a lot last year.
Yeah.
You couldn't have predicted. I mean, it's one thing to lose your quarterback, who literally is the quarterback of this team, both from a coaching standpoint, but also, you know, the leadership standpoint. Losing him was big. And then, like I said, we talked about some of the stuff defensively, which we haven't ever really sort of marinated in. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot. If people knew the full complexities of what went on last year, you'd actually be impressed that this group played the way they did still,
especially
towards
the
end of the
stretch.
I think it says a lot about their mental makeup, is my point.
Yeah, the last five or six games they were playing in spite of, right? So it was, this isn't who we are as individuals and as a team, so we're going to do whatever we can, to right the thing, right? But there was a lot of things that went on were just amazing last year.
And again, I want to be fair when I'm asking you certain questions here, because obviously you have relationships with these guys that I don't want to break and ask you to break or walk you into that. But knowing what you know, working with so many guys up here and over the years, can Cowboy fans feel confident that there's playmakers on that defensive line?
Without question. Without question. The young talent that they have with Neville and Tristan on the inside, they're going to be treated there. If the Cowboys bring Gerald back, now you're talking about veteran leadership on the inside. If they bring back Alden, you know, so there, DeMarcus is still there.
Randy Gregory,
right? So with the scheme being different, and the way the season ended last year, the way they played, I think you should be very excited and optimistic about how they'll play as a unit.
Now, one of the guys we did mention there was Tristan Hill, a guy I know you worked with, and a guy who was playing well. He was one of the kind of bright spots before he got hurt.
Right.
I know that he's recovering, hoping to have a big, you know, comeback here in 2021. Are you guys going to be working together this offseason and
definitely
building on that stuff?
Definitely. I talked to Tristan last week. He's almost ready to go. It's back in the lab. And build on what he did last year.
What's wild is that he had the year that he had, given the struggles that he had with what seemed like this cohesive group with Rod Marinelli and the guys, and then was able to turn the corner in what was a more challenging year.
Yeah, so I know Tristan wouldn't mind me sharing this.
Okay.
It was a bad room for him.
Mm.
It was a bad room for him. He came in with the mindset of, you know, I was technically the Cowboys' first-round pick, and, you know, I'm the man. And he immediately was hit with, no, you're not.
Welcome to the NFL.
Right. To the NFL. And so he had some growing and maturing to do. He did. And then when the coaching staff changed, he had a fresh start, and he took advantage of it.
I think it says something that he was responsive, though.
Yeah.
You know, he was able to look inward and say, you know, maybe some of the problems here are me.
Absolutely.
A lot of guys don't do that. We've seen that in Dallas.
No, I think there was a lot of growth there. And, yeah, you mentioned that. There have been issues in the past of guys who didn't take their responsibility and weren't willing to grow. And that was something that I think everybody was excited about, and I think they could see it. Even when Tristan Hill talked to the media, he said that he viewed this as, you know, a fresh start and a chance at a second chance at a first impression, essentially.
Right.
How much do you think that is a going to be an additional challenge for him, though, that we're talking about 3 years and three defensive schemes that he's having to adjust to now?
That's a great point. I didn't think of it that way.
That is a great point. you know what? It's a fresh start again, mm-hmm. right? So this time, though, the expectations are there because he showed everyone what he was capable of. And so I think the new staff coming in, the new D-line coach and coordinator, right? They switched both.
British.
Yeah.
That's amazing, too.
Right?
Alden and I were talking about that last night. But he definitely has a fresh start to be able to come in and show those guys what he showed the previous staff, right? Which is extreme athleticism and burst. I mean, his athleticism, burst, and strength is incredible, so.
You obviously, this is your specialty, so I love when I can just ask the questions and stay in my lane. So, obviously, you've worked with a lot of guys, different teams. You get them ready for the draft. What has been your impression of Dan Quinn over the years, and what do you think he's going to bring to this Cowboys locker room, him and Joe specifically?
Energy. All right, energy. Their defense is played with a lot of energy. You know, That Atlanta team that made it to the Super Bowl, super energetic on defense. Guys flew around. I think it's going to be a really good fit for the talent that they have here. I do. Did I answer the question?
No, I was curious about that. You know, again, we haven't been able to talk to the guys. We will, you know, obviously as we get closer, you know, to OTAs and things like that, but haven't really gotten a sense of what they even think of the guys. So I just wanted to be fair here, given your interactions from afar or even personally of Dan Quinn, what Cowboy fans can expect from him and his defense.
Yeah, they're excited, right? They're excited. I think everyone has a point to prove. They think that they need to show that last year was an anomaly, right? That's not what Cowboy football is about.
It was a weird one. I mean, you don't go from middle of the pack defensively
to all-time worst.
All-time worst.
it was pretty tough along all levels of the defense last year. I hope, you know, kind of putting it together a little bit there at the end, like you say, taking some personal
I was just
going to
say, I thought what really stood out to me, though, was that Jerry and Steven, say what you will about the coaching staff, that they were able to admit that there was a problem there and make the change.
Immediately.
We've never seen them move on from a coach after 1 year, and it felt like they were very receptive to their locker room and receptive to what was lacking there and what we've been talking about here, going out and getting guys that, again, this is just my opinion, are going to be more responsive to the coaching style that comes with Dan Quinn in that group.
Yeah. That was un-Cowboy-esque, right? For something to happen that quick. But I think there was one voice. Everyone kept saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And when the entire team is saying the same thing, at some point, as ownership, you have to say, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
So when we look at the next generation of players here, I know you're working with guys at a few different locations, Michael Johnson Performance here at Exos, APEC in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
One of the guys that I'm really pumped about that I know you're working with is Marvin Wilson, Texas boy, Florida State, a guy who was at the Senior Bowl recently. With the Cowboys still looking for D-line guys and still looking for guys potentially in the middle, what would Marvin bring to a team?
Oh, he'd fit here beautifully, right? And an interesting story about him, I got a chance to coach against him in high school. So he was down at Baylor Episcopal, and I was coaching at the Episcopal School of Dallas, and he was the number one defensive lineman in the country.
Wow.
And he didn't play in the game against us, but looking at him on film, he would just beat teams up by himself. Went down to Florida State and had, a really good collegiate career. And when I got him almost a month ago now, a little longer than a month ago, he looks fantastic. You know, he looks fantastic. He moves well. He's strong.
He's an earth mover. He'll sit there. He'll move trees for you if you need.
And he's very athletic and has a great motor. And so he's a prototypical three technique in the NFL. As long as he stays healthy, he should have a 10-plus year career.
Tuck, how prepared are these guys? Like, some that haven't had a final season or opted out because of COVID or, didn't get that real classroom and then the field work that they typically get.
Yeah.
What kind of players are you getting, and what are these scouts now dealing? I would imagine your phone is ringing off the hook and you're more valuable than ever, but how raw are these guys?
Some of them are very. Some of them are very, especially the guys that opted out. For instance, I have Tyler Selvin here from LSU, and he's been here since October, right? And so keeping him engaged, right, through this extremely long process at that point, when he would normally be doing football practice, obviously we can get him here and take care of any ailments that he has and make sure that he's in shape and he's doing the things that he would normally do if he was in a team setting is one challenge. But again, it's keeping him engaged, right? You're in a different place. You're away from home.
Away from your brothers.
Yeah. And so that was and then it's COVID, right? So there was a lot of challenges, but the staff here at Exos does a fantastic job. MJP, they do a fantastic job, and so does the APEC staff with this elongated, uncertain process that we're dealing with right now. But yeah, it's been different for sure.
I got to think that these guys are going to be there's going to be sort of this learning curve, but once they get in the system, they're going to be so ahead because they've been approaching this as if it's their career.
Right.
I think that there's sometimes this adjustment from college and then like December guys, like they're typically immediately training for, and it's quick training before you get to the combine. You're working on the fundamentals. They may not have the live game action.
Right.
I gotta think their bodies are a little bit fresher. And again, they're getting back to technique, which is, I feel like something like with Neville, you had to work on it at an accelerated rate, especially with COVID coming to the Cowboys.
Yeah. Neville and I got ran off a couple fields too.
Neville, who also played football in Canada,
right?
For high school football. Like, I mean, there was a whole bunch of differences for him.
Right. And just to backtrack a little bit, that's why Neville would have fit so well in Marinelli's scheme, because at OU with Coach Thibodeau, it was just run through gaps. And as a position coach, my job is to close that gap, right? And then we have to take into account the scheme that they're going to play in. So as important as this process is for these guys in pre-draft, once they get picked up by their respective team and they understand what their scheme is going to be, now it's time for us to really close the gap and teach them how to play within their scheme, especially if it's something they hadn't played in prior to going to the NFL.
Well, so. I know we're keeping you from lunch, but I do want one more thing that Jane brought it up like a second ago about how they get to focus on the fundamentals, and this is just a cool thing that I think people would want to hear about. The first time I was out here when Tuck was working with Tyler Shelvin, that I heard Tuck ask him, yeah, you want to get that, Tuck?
No. We're both just ringing off the hook over here.
Tyler Shelvin had, when he first walked up to him, Tuck said, you know, have you been using your non-dominant hand?
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
Tuck actually has Tyler Shelvin to get him and get guys used to using their left hand more than their right. He's got, like, Tyler Shelvin eating dinner with his left hand and brushing his teeth with his left hand trying to get more used to that.
Yeah, so if you're in college and you're a stud, most of the time your D-line coach is going to just let you do what you need to do to be successful.
Yep.
And I need for guys to be balanced and ambidextrous. And so if you're right-handed and everything you do is right-handed, I need for you to begin to use your left hand, which is most people's non-dominant. And you know, I ask them, you know, which hand do you eat with? And everyone says their right hand. And you know, I'll ask them a couple more questions, and I'll come back and I say, well, when you go to the bathroom, have a bowel movement, number two. Okay. Which hand do you use to clean yourself? And when they say their right hand, and that's the same hand that they eat with and brush their teeth with, I'm going, you got to be kidding me, right?
And there's, so again, there's the incentive to go ahead and start eating with your left
right,
hand.
Let's use our non-dominant hand for some things, right? And so if you're able to use your hand, your non-dominant hand, to eat and write and brush your teeth, when it's time to work moves, when it's time to get into a left-hand stance, just think about it. You want to be able to get into a left-hand stance if you're right-handed, so your right hand is free and ready to go.
Yep.
But most guys want to put their right hand down and then come off and then work the move. And so if you're on the right side of the line, your left hand is down, your right hand's up, and vice versa, you need to be able to be balanced and use both.
Parents of future baseball players go out of their way to make sure their kids are left-handed.
Right.
Because they want a left-handed pitcher.
Right, and that's the opposite. So I'm going to age myself a little bit. I'm a child of the 70s.
Yeah.
Most kids, if they start to use their left hand, their parents would stop them.
Yeah.
And make them use their right hand. And so now I've got to figure out if they're left side dominant or right side dominant. Because you teach those guys different, right?
Yep.
It's just like a visual learner versus an auditory learner, right? And so that's how we train. That's how we teach guys. And yeah, man, great point, Bob. That's part of the process, though.
You know what I love, though? Not only working with Bobby during this time of the year, because he's like a savant. He's like a rain man as it relates to these guys. I mean, he loves it. And I feed off that energy. It's like you get done with the NFL season, you kind of want to take a break. But then I come up here, and you guys are always so accommodating, and I appreciate the access, because even as a reporter, I'm always looking to be a sponge and learn stuff. And I just love taking in what you guys do. So as you're teaching them, I feel like I'm learning, and I appreciate that access.
Oh, thank you for coming.
I appreciate
it. We enjoy having you. I mean, this is
and now you've ruined Jane eating with her right hand.
Yeah,
she's
now
not able to do that ever again.
Well, girls
she's
don't do that, guys. Oh, you know that
yeah,
we don't.
That's right. Girls don't do that. That's right. I forgot.
Don't do it.
It doesn't happen. Girls, well, it doesn't happen.
Brandon Tucker from Trench Warfare Training. As I said, you can follow him on Twitter at TWF Training. And Tuck, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Jane.
We are not done yet. If you can't tell, we are incredibly enthusiastic about talking to these guys, and we will continue to talk to these guys. If there's anyone that you want to hear from,
yeah,
shout out to us. We'll see if we can't. If they're not here in the Dallas area, we'll see if we can't get them on the podcast, especially as we find out who the Cowboys have talked to, and we find that in a couple of ways, of course, through the players, the agents, and even the team itself.
Tapping phones.
Exactly, exactly, like, yeah, exactly. So as we find out all that information, I know you guys are football hungry. I've been football hungry, and we're not even that far removed from the Super Bowl, but stay with us. We'll keep bringing you the content.